Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman this evening as we continue with our study on world events. And today we are going to be starting with one of the biggest battles in the world right now, and kind of close it down to Uganda and show how this country of ours is standing at the precipice, basically, and at crossroads, really. Precipice perhaps is not the right word, but at crossroads, and how it is important for us to know where we are standing and what we should do about it as children of God. But just so that you know, if you've listened to this program before, you know that there is a big battle right now in the world between the West and the countries that they call the BRICS. West basically being the European Union and America, and the countries that they call the BRICS countries. BRICS are the second tier of powerful economies which have come together, all five of them, and are seeking to create a different power base, so to speak. And the BRICS is BRICS, and it stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Now, those are the five countries that are trying to create something separate from the West and basically having a power structure of their own. But of course, it's not something that the West is very keen about. But it is led and mostly pushed by China and Russia, because those are the biggest of the countries in there. But they need the economy of Brazil, they need South Africa, they need a number of them. And now, more recently, they were speaking about starting their version of the World Bank and IMF, so to speak, and loaning out money to African countries, because the Western powers were using those loan, you know, those Bretton Woods institutions, as they are called, to control a lot of the resources, especially in Africa, but generally in the so-called developing world. Now, the BRICS are trying to say we can gather money between us and do something similar, and actually give loans to these countries. Now, of course, because the West, their loans come with a lot of strings attached. First of all, they do not give loans for big infrastructure development, and they said, but African countries need such kind of loans. The West gives short-term loans, which are going to make sure that you continue coming back to them over and over and over again and keep you indebted. Now, what BRICS are saying is that they can provide a different loan structure for these African countries. So now, this has created a big battle between these, and it has extended in quite a number of places. Now, the first one where it reared its head, actually, because it was the Ukrainian crisis. Now, what is called the Ukrainian crisis, Putin's apparent aggression in Ukraine and the annexing of Crimea and things like that, all of that was started by this battle between the West and BRICS. Now, how was that? Because the former Ukrainian president, the guy who was ousted in 2014, Viktor Yanukovych, had just been elected by a majority of the Ukrainian people, and then he had on his table two proposals. One of them was to have close links with European Union. The other one was to have links with Russia. Now, those are the two options he had. So Viktor Yanukovych had just been elected by the Ukrainian people in a poll, in a democratic poll, but he had on his table two options. One of the options was to go with the European Union, which had placed before him some kind of agreement of association with them, and the other one was to go with Russia. And of course, Ukraine needed the money. It was either going to come from the European Union or from Russia. And so Viktor Yanukovych made a choice as a president, and he decided to go with Russia. And he actually took a $20 billion kind of loan from Russia, over a period of time, really soft loan. And so now the European Union was stung. Now, of course, you might not have heard this because you've heard what has been fed to you by CNN and BBC. But if you go and check this out, it's because, you know, the West has the power of the media and propaganda, and they sway everybody's opinion, and people tend to believe that everything they say is true, but they actually tell more lies than anybody else. They have this thing that somehow they've made people to believe everything they do is righteous and things like that. But now I'm telling you the basis of this Ukrainian war and how it ties into so many things that are happening right now, even in our country. And it's important for you to know this. And so Viktor Yanukovych decided to go with Russia, and that stung the European Union, you know, because they had it. They were hoping that he would choose them ahead of, you know, Vladimir Putin's Russia. Now, when that happened, somehow there were all these in Western Ukraine. Now, of course, Ukraine is a very big country, and there are different, you know, ethnicities in the country. And now in the Western Ukraine, where there is Kiev, most of those people would have preferred a kind of association with the European Union, because that's more or less like their lifestyle. However, in the Eastern Ukraine, those people are Russians, basically Russians divided by borders. They speak Russian, their culture and everything is Russian, so they prefer to stick with Russia than with the real Europe. So, but you know, because of politics being a game of numbers, when it comes to electing, whatever the people of Western Ukraine want, if the numbers in Eastern Ukraine vote for an association with Russia, then they have to go with that. Only this time, because the capital is in Kiev, these people went and stood up, people within Kiev, and they went and stood in the square, the usual thing, and deposed Viktor Yanukovych as president and forced him out of Kiev. And basically now there's another president in place who is agreed upon by the European Union. So what actually happened is that the European Union staged a coup in Ukraine. That is the West stage a coup in Ukraine. Now, of course, that's not what you've heard. You've heard that Putin is the one who is staging a coup in Ukraine. But I'll give you an example for you to know exactly what happened. Now, if the region of Buganda, for instance, Buganda alone here in Uganda, wants a certain thing, let's say federal, and let's say somebody stands up as campaigning for presidency and says, if you make me president, I'm not going to grant federal. So now what happens is the rest of the country don't want federal. So the rest of the country, the north, the east, the west, all vote for that person who is saying is not granting federal. So he wins a democratic vote, but Buganda is not happy because for them they wanted federal. And but the whole game of numbers shows that the rest of the country doesn't want federal, so somehow Buganda loses out. Now, when that happens, the people of Buganda stir themselves up because the capital is in Buganda. They go to State House and depose the president and say, for us, we want federal. Now, the people of Buganda, in this case, supported by the West, okay, go and depose the president who was democratically elected by all the people of Uganda. Now, that's precisely what happened in Ukraine. Now, then the people of Uganda, because they are in collusion with the West, which perhaps also wants federal, now the West says it's a popular uprising, the president was deposed, but the rest of Uganda are saying, for us, that was our president. He told us he was not going to introduce federal, that's why we gave him our vote, and we don't want federal. But then Buganda somehow has instilled their will upon the rest of Uganda. Now that's precisely what happened in Ukraine, in Western Ukraine, because of course Buganda alone is not as big as the rest of Uganda. Now the Western Ukrainians are not as big as the other Eastern Ukrainians, in numbers at least, who tend to want an association with Russia. Now all of this, now of course, because of all the media and what, they turn it around and now it looks like Putin is the aggressor, but in reality the aggressor is the West, is Obama, is the European Union. They are the ones who went and deposed the president who had been elected by the people of Ukraine, all of them. And his deposing was not popular with the people of Eastern Ukraine because he was their president and he was doing things the way they wanted him to, by associating with Russia. So now why are they doing this? Because Russia was setting up this BRICS thing, and they wanted to kind of isolate Russia and make it weaker. And of course, Ukraine is a very, very big part of the, what you would call like the Russian empire, so to speak, former Soviet Union states. So now Vladimir Putin says, you're not going to get away with this. You're not just going to come and depose somebody and basically try to extend the European Union into next door to Russia, and I keep quiet. So Putin fights back as he knows how to, and the next thing you know is he has annexed Crimea, and the next thing you know, Eastern Ukraine is in a war which the West is supporting, and I believe he kind of is. There is a truth to that. But the point is, the people in Eastern Ukraine don't want to be part of the European Union. But you're not going to hear that listening to any of the major news channels. You aren't, because you would not get... there's no... Let's just say, none of those channels are objective. Eh? You just expect that their agenda, they are subjective, and all these things. Now, if you don't believe that, you'll get to believe that the day they cover news about Uganda. I'll give you an example. Listening to CNN on the day that Museveni signed the anti-homosexuality bill, Christian Amanpo was making it look like Kampala, the streets were in, there were all these anti-homosexual vigilante who were going from house to house pulling out homosexuals and chopping off their heads. And that's the picture they created about Kampala, and they scared everybody, and they said this is a failed state and what, all because the president had gone against something which they want. And was that the truth in Kampala? Of course it wasn't. We were in the middle of the city. Everything was going okay. Nobody was being pulled. And they were quoting somebody in apparently in Kampala saying they are hiding under their bed. They are very scared. These, anti-homosexual vigilantes are going to come and pull her out and chop off her neck. And then they were getting pictures from previous, long time ago, xenophobic attacks in South Africa, and claiming that those were homosexuals being lynched in Uganda. And all this was on CNN, okay? And, because they tell so many lies. And the thing is, if you believe everything that you get from there, then they are going to shape your way of thinking, which is going to be very unfortunate. But the thing, so now, this whole thing, so now, this is BRICS versus the West. But this thing extended beyond Ukraine and went even into football. Now, the reason Sepp Blatter was forced to resign as FIFA president after being elected by 133 countries out of the 209 that are members of FIFA is because of that same battle between BRICS and the West. Now, what happens is, look at the previous hosts of the World Cup. Of course, hosting the World Cup comes with a lot of revenue attached. Brazil collected in a period of about 1 year $11 billion. Now, if $11 billion came, let's say, into an economy, let's say like Uganda, if we got an injection of $11 billion over a period of 6 months, everything would turn around, because that's a lot of money, if you know what I mean. Now, the World Cup has the ability of bringing that money, because it can bring as many as 10 million, let's say, visitors in the course of 1 month, let's say, if it's really well marketed. And if those 10 million visitors each spend $1,000, all of them, you're going to have injected in your economy $10 billion. Now, that's quite an amount of money. Now, the thing is, look at the previous hosts of the World Cup. I've told you the BRICS nations are Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Now, look at the previous hosts of the World Cup: South Africa, Brazil. Now, the next World Cup in 2018 is going to be in Russia. So you see, FIFA was kind of almost... the West is trying to pull resources this side. FIFA is pulling resources the other side. I don't know why. I don't know why Blatter seemed to side with the BRICS countries, because South Africa, Brazil, then Russia being hosts almost back to back, of course, with the exception of, one world, because South Africa 2010, Brazil 2014, then Russia 2018. Three BRICS countries hosting the World Cup back to back. And it was said that China was bidding for the 2026 World Cup, and there was every likelihood that they were going to get it. So now, that's when the West stands up and says, we cannot let this BRICS take football over. Because you have to understand that football, in as much as you enjoy the football and all that, is a massive revenue earner. And for the first time, and for the first time in so many years, the World Cup can be held without all the money going to the West. Now, previously, almost all the money went to the West, whether the World Cup was held in South America or anywhere. That's because it was sponsored by Coca-Cola, by Visa, or by MasterCard, or by all Western companies, you know, Nike and all, Adidas. But now things are beginning to change, because the World Cup can, I mean, if the Western companies don't bring their money, FIFA can comfortably get their money from Hyundai, which they did in the previous World Cup, from Samsung, which they did in the previous World Cup. So now, suddenly, the Western companies don't have domination over the football money. And they also don't have, they are not dominating the construction and all the engineering that goes into preparing for the World Cup, which was not the case before, because almost all the construction done, actually, even in South Africa, was mostly done by Western companies. But now Brazil kind of cut that down, because they have their companies of their own. They are the world's, I think, seventh largest economy. Now, Russia was, of course, not going to use Western companies. They are going to use their own and Chinese companies, which are now becoming very popular. Now, Qatar is what beat the West, because Qatar also went east to get the companies that were going to build, construct stadia for the World Cup and do all the engineering and so on. And they were not using these companies. They were actually going the other side and using cheap labor from India, Pakistan, and those countries which have so many refugees that you're seeing all over the place. So now, the West stands back and said, now football is getting out of our hands. Previously, they would let you host the World Cup as long as we are the ones who build the stadiums, we are the ones who sponsor the tournament, we are the ones who get everything, most of the tickets are sold here, and so on and so forth. So somehow, the money goes to them. Now, the football money was going elsewhere. And Blatter seemed to be a part of that. So what happens? They jump up corruption, there is corruption in FIFA and what, and of course they sway so many people who believe everything the West says. The truth is, there is corruption in football, there is no doubt. But FIFA is the most organized and the most democratic international body. It's the only democratic international body that treats all countries the same. There is no country that is superior to the others. Of course, the West have said they don't want that. How can England be the same as Rwanda? In their mind, England's vote should count more than Rwanda's. But in the mind of FIFA, they don't. Germany, England, America, all those count the same as a vote from Lesotho or anywhere. So now they had to come and enter into that and kind of make turn things around. So now you're seeing football becoming a major power a major source of power struggle between the BRICS countries and the West, and this is continuing. This is going on and on and on. Make no mistake, because now the battle for resources in Africa. Now this is where I'm going to come down to Uganda, and I'm going to make you understand that there are two different power brokers, so to speak, that are fighting for resources in Uganda. Now we as children of God don't know which one is the best for us and which one is going to give us the best deal, because we do not have the capacity to invest in all the resources that we have. However, there are people who would want to come and just take away the resources and go and benefit from them as it was before, okay? And then there are those who will come and take away a fraction, but also leave us a fraction. And just that fraction, by the way, of the resources that we currently have, would make us a very rich country. Because we actually very, very, you've heard of the slogan, gifted by nature. We actually are extremely gifted by nature. It's just that we don't really, so many people don't understand, and they don't understand why we are at a crossroads currently, right now, and why the most important thing right now is for us to pray for the leadership of this country. But I'll give you an example. Now, the oil that they've been talking about in Hoima district, towards the lake, a place called Chibare and all that near Lake Albert. Now it turns out it's not just there, actually, because there they had said that there's 2.5 billion barrels of recoverable resources of oil. Now what recoverable means is that as they mine, more oil flows from somewhere else, and so it doesn't reduce in volume. So you take out and it keeps on coming. So you mine oil and it keeps on coming. The more you pull out, the more it comes. You understand? Now that's recoverable. And now what is guaranteed there is 2.5 billion barrels of oil. But it's now been discovered actually even all the way from West Nile through Pakwach area and almost through the whole Albertine Nile. Apparently now they are very, very rich oil reserves in there, which means that Uganda's oil revenue is going to be even much bigger than was ever anticipated. By the way, it is going to be a lot bigger than was ever anticipated. Now, of course, this creates a number of issues, decisions that have to be made by our leaders and things like that. Now, initially, I think the government was inclined towards having a refinery around Bunyoro. I don't know if that is going to happen because there's been talk that there might still be a refinery, but basically for handling energy the oil we need or the fuel we need in the country. So they put a small refinery which will get fuel for the fuel we need in the country, but the rest of it is taken through a pipeline which the construction of which has already been agreed between the governments of Uganda, Kenya and South Sudan, especially because now South Sudan, all their oil, they have to export it to the to northern Egypt through Sudan, and the relationship of course between South Sudan and Sudan is not good at all. So now they are saying they are willing to spend $3 billion to connect their oil to this pipeline which is coming also from Hoima area and going all the way to Lamu. Because the reason they are going to Lamu is because even there is even some oil discovered by the Kenyans in the northern part of the country in Turkana. So kind of this oil, one pipeline seems to connect the oil revenue, I mean all the oil from three different countries, South Sudan, Uganda and Kenya. But of course we have actually, now it turns out we have more oil than any one of all those. And so it goes to the port of Lamu where it's going to be exported. However, I think there's still a plan to build a small oil refinery for at least 3 million barrels a day here in Uganda so that it can supply the petroleum needs of the country. That's because we apparently we don't want to have the problems that Nigeria have where they are producing a lot of oil but they have fuel, lighting up for fuel, and all their oil is just going straight into for mining, straight into a pipeline abroad, and they have to import all their fuel, yet actually they are producing more fuel than any other African country, and actually one of the world's largest producers of fuel, but all of it is taken crude, and they have to import their own fuel. Now, to avoid that, apparently, now we are saying we just want, but these are decisions which are being contested by all sorts of people, by the way, and because they don't want, they want to take all the crude and put us in the same position as Nigeria now, where it's only a few corrupt people who benefit. Now, of course, some people think, well, but it's not just oil, it's natural gas. Natural gas is what has made Russia what it is, because Russia supplies almost a good fraction of the natural gas that is in that is being used in all of Western Europe, which is why it's not easy for Germany, England and all those to completely break off ties with Russia. There is a lot of lip service in there, but they need the natural gas from Russia to keep them warm and what throughout winter and things like that. But we have a lot of natural gas here. Now, I would just tell you another thing. Now, another project was also agreed apparently by the presidents of Uganda, Kenya and Rwanda when they met, and now that is will involve extending to Uganda and to Rwanda an existing pipeline running which runs from Mombasa but stops somewhere inside Kenya, I think Eldoret, where most of these trucks go and get the fuel. Now the idea is to extend that pipe into Uganda and into Rwanda so that we get all the fuel that we need there easily. So there's one going out, there's one coming in, but then they want to build a small refinery for 30,000 barrels per day by the end of next year. These are some of the decisions that are being made but are being contested. Now I'm going to tell you why it's important for us to know this. Now, aside from that, a recent airborne geophysical survey revealed that Uganda possesses more than 260 million tons of iron ore. Of course, a mineral that is needed for the development of the steel industry. Now, this is a lot of iron. This is a lot of iron. And there is a great deal of need for iron because it is all the construction of so many things across the world, especially in China, the ones who have a great, great deal, and they have been looking for a lot of iron. And some there's been a bit of exporting of it in its raw form, but somehow I think that was stopped because with all this iron ore, I think it's important that we keep what we have and then process it in a way. And now, of course, the thing was, do we have what it takes to smelt this iron and make it turn it into steel? Now, that was where the problem was. Did we have that amount of energy to do that? Now, apparently, the discovery of natural gas in that Albertine region gives us enough energy to smelt our own iron and actually use it, at least export it with a lot more value, or even use it here for ourselves. I'm talking as a Ugandan. If you're not a Ugandan, just understand I'm speaking as a Ugandan. Yeah. Now, but that wasn't all. They also found potentially huge diamond deposits around Lake Choga. And now, the survey was done in 2007 and 2008. And then they also found, but the diamond has not yet kind of been proven because they only saw kimberlite, which normally harbors diamonds. So I'm not so sure if they have proven that we have diamonds, but if we do them, this is quite a lot of money. This is quite a lot of potential that we have as a country. Okay. Now, airborne also geological surveys provided evidence that of the existence of gold deposits also in Arua, in Hoima, in Masindi, in Buhweju, and of course in Karamoja, and there was also marble and all these things. So we are dealing with the mineral mapping shows the existence of nickel platinum group metals in Iganga district, chromite and marble in Karamoja, carbonites and kimberlites in east and southwestern regions, and iron ore, a lot of it. Most of it is also this side of the west, but a lot of it, some also in Mayuge and diatomite in Pakwach. So now, why are all these discoveries being made now? I mean, this is amazing, because if we actually take advantage of these resources, this country can become extremely wealthy. And you know what I'm talking about. Now, what would it take for us to take advantage of this? Good leadership. Okay? Now, this is why it is important. Now, all these things, because the pipeline to Lamu is going to be finished construction. They are going to finish constructing it in 2018. And the extracting of the oil starts this year. Okay? At least that's the plan. And the investment in all the people, the companies that are investing in all the pipeline and everything, the money has been gotten, the companies have been gotten, so everything is moving on just fine. And but now there are very important decisions that have to be made. Can we have that refinery that at least gives us 30,000 barrels, that refines at least 30,000 barrels of oil a day, so that we meet all our fuel needs, so that at least the price of fuel can go down. Okay, now that's very important. But of course, most of the companies involved don't want that refinery at all. And what do they do when they don't want the refinery? They go and kind of get, politicians go and bribe them and tell them, you don't need this and what. And because there is a mindset in Uganda where everybody thinks for himself, so somebody is going to go and be given, a few tens of thousands of dollars, and then he makes a decision which is going to affect his country and generations to come, just because of his selfish needs. Now, this is the problem that we are having. Now, the reason I'm telling you all of this is because I know that this country has a very high calling. I know that for a fact. I've told you this before, that the reason there has been a lot of interest in Uganda in all sorts of things, a lot of interest in our social life and things like that. Why was it that the anti-homosexuality bill that was signed by the president made news in Uganda when a similar one was signed in Nigeria and in so many other countries? There are countries that have worse laws against homosexuals than Uganda. But why was it important in Uganda? Because of the high calling that we have. Because Uganda is not just another country. That's why even the Pope is insisting on wanting to come here. Why does he want to come here? There are so many other countries that he could visit before he comes to Uganda. Of course, they are tying it down to the fact that the anniversary of the Uganda matters, but that has passed. That passed a long time ago. But he still is interested in coming here. But of course, we know he's not coming, because we have agreed as a people that he is not coming, at least as listeners of this show, who are Ugandans and who have a right over this country spiritually. And if we combine our spiritual right, then it cannot be violated. Now, I want us to use that same spiritual right to pray for the leadership of this country. I mean, to pray that, because we are going into election time and so many people are electioneering and doing things, but the trouble is the children of God are not thinking about it in the perspective that God wants them to think about it. Because it is extremely important that you think, what is God's will for us? Because God does not want companies from the West and China and everywhere to just come and take our resources and for us remain selling menvu at the roadside. That is not God's will for us, because he put those resources in our country so that the people of that country can benefit from them. Now, he wants us to benefit from them. Now, we might not have a lot of power and guns to change things, but we have spiritual weapons which are more powerful than all the guns combined. I want you to understand this. I want you to understand that the power is in us agreeing something, because we have a right over this country. We have a right over the way this country is governed. You might, even if the right is violated at the ballot box, God is not the author of democracy. If you can go and vote. The point is that, but you can vote and it doesn't change anything. But when we pray, we can change it and make things. And by change, I don't mean necessarily one leader over the other. What I mean is that this country has been known as a country where nothing seems to work, corruption stalls everything. You can't expect, you know, any public sector to work. The public sector is almost totally disintegrated. People work the way they want and all these things. But this is about to change. This is about to change. Just hear this now. This is about to change. But we are going to have to play a role, which is why I, as the watchman, and the Lord has been impressing on me these things, to come and speak to you and tell you that as Ugandans, pray for your country. Pray that the people who come into leadership, the next leaders, whoever they are, and I'm not putting one over the other, the next leader, whoever he is, or the next leaders, whoever they are, have the spirit of the nation and will make, they have a spirit that wants to see the best for this nation, is what I mean, and will make those decisions that are best for us. Now, we are going to pray that God puts leaders who are going to do his will in power, and that is that we have a lot of power in that. Don't think that prayer, the world presents prayer as some kind of weak thing, that that now you have no power, you're just praying. No, praying is not just, praying changes things. Now you're going to see the Pope is going to fail to come to Uganda because we prayed. Now what else can you do to stop the Pope from coming to Uganda if the president has called him? I can, apart from pray, there is nothing. But I don't need to do anything else. If I pray, he will not come. And he is not coming. You understand? So now, the Pope is a very powerful person in the worldly system, and he has been invited by the president. So now, who am I? No, that's not how God sees it. I am a child of God. And as far as God is concerned, my voice counts more than the Pope, than if he's not born again, which I don't think he is, of course. My point is, I'm a child of God. So if he's not, my voice counts more than his. So if I stand and say that, Heavenly Father, I am a Ugandan, and I know it is not your will for this man to come here, and therefore in Jesus' name I declare he is not coming here, then he will not come here. Because God is, you know, Jesus said, my Father is more powerful than anyone else. And some people behave as if God isn't. As if God is some kind of weakling, you know, things are just happening, poor God, what is he going to do? And you make it look like, politicians, presidents and what have more power than God. They don't. And we have power in our God and in praying. Now, we are going to pray for this country, for the next elections, not just today. And I'm saying it because the Bible says, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I wish above all things that, you know, prayer and supplication be made for kings and people in authority, okay, so that we may lead peaceable lives. Now, so that God's will is done in this country, so that the leaders make decisions that are going to make us beneficiaries of the resources that God has placed in this country, because they are tremendous resources. And I'm telling you that these are tremendous resources. I mean, how many million tons of iron ore, which is very necessary now in the world, which almost everybody is looking for. 3 billion barrels of renewable oil reserves, renewable meaning that when you take them out, they take out the oil, it keeps on coming, and so on, and all these minerals that I've just given you a snippet of, because of now, this is very important, because it is the will of God that we benefit from all of this as a nation, as a people, and that these things are not taken by other people. It is not the will of God that some people, because they became developed faster than us and they have a lot of power, and they have, now you cannot stop America from coming and stealing your resources, but in prayer you can. You understand? In prayer you can, because when a child of God in Uganda stands and prays to God, your voice counts more than that of Barack Obama, because God changes leaders. He's in charge of everything. I want you to understand that we have power in prayer. You understand? Now, if whatever Obama says, he's not a Ugandan, okay? Now, if me as a Ugandan, I stand up and say, God, I pray that you put leaders in place that are going to make sure that all these resources that you've given us stay with us, and they benefit us, and we become wealthy from them. Not other countries becoming wealthy because they went ahead of us. It is not God's will that we are exploited. It is not. Okay, now, but now we have to stand up and understand the power that we have in prayer. Now, today, at the end of this show, we are going to pray for this time, not for 15 minutes, because this is so important. This time we are praying for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. And now I want you to join me, because this is so important. And we are going to pray that we get the right leaders. Okay? Because the next 3 or 4 years are going to be the most important years in Uganda in terms of economy. We can go one way or we can go the other way. We can go the Nigeria way, where some people are very rich, and there is poverty all over. Or we can go the proper way, where the resources are too many in this country, where because this is a lot of money, where there is too much money in here, that even if some people have more than others, everybody will have. Okay? And we're a country of 35, I mean, perhaps closing in 40 million, whatever. But the point is that there's enough resources in here for us to all provide for. And that's not all, because we are supposed to be an agricultural country. So, there's going to be a very big scarcity for food at some stage in the future. And God has given us a unique soils, a unique climate, a unique calling in that area to provide food for the world. That's why we have different things which are, and these things were planned by God long time ago. And you say, of course, Uganda didn't exist until the Berlin summit of 1893 and whatever else you might say, but the point is God existed before that, okay? And he knew that there would be a country called Uganda, and he makes sure every nation in the world has something which he gave them, which is going to feed the people who live in that nation. And he puts those resources in there, and he says the resources are placed in there so that the people who live in Uganda will have something to feed on, because I have given them ABC. I've given them good food, I've given them a good climate, I've given them good soils, now I've given them oil, I've given them diamonds, I've given them iron. I mean, what else do we want as a nation? So, but all this can be stolen just like that, if we do not have the right leaders in place, which is why we are going to pray for our leadership. Okay? We are going to pray for our leadership. We are going to pray, because forget all this electioneering, what splits, what NRM splitting, Museveni, let those people play their circus. Okay? Now, for us, what we are going to do is we are going to pray, God, intervene in the politics of this country, and let your will be done in this country. Not the will of any man, okay? And pray knowing that you're speaking to the highest authority in heaven and on earth. The one who is in charge of everybody's life,
the one who can do anything he wants if his children ask him to. Now we're asking that his will be done. Now that's why Jesus asks for that prayer, because if you don't invite God to come and take control of the politics of your country, then other people will come and take it over. But when you invite God, you have the right as a Ugandan, and God does not see you as inferior to anybody. No, he doesn't. Actually, if you're a child of God, he sees you as having a higher voice than those who are not his children. So you stand and say, now God, come and intervene. So whatever has to happen for God's will to be done in this country, it will happen if we pray for it to happen. I hope you understand now. And God's will is that we benefit from these resources which is put here, and that we go in the direction that he has chosen for us as a nation. Now, our purpose here as listeners of this program, as listeners of The Watchman, is to pray that the will of God be done. That's why Jesus said that in the sinner's prayer, or rather in the what they call the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, why does Jesus say that? Because if you do not ask God to come and do his will on earth, he will not. Why would he not? Because he said, I have made man, and let us make man, and let us give him control, absolute control over the earth. Okay? Now, who has control over the earth? Man. That's why the earth is sometimes disorganized and things like that. Now, heaven is the place where God's will is done 100%. That's why it is heaven. That's why it is as good as it is. Now, earth is where the will of men is done, but the will of God is done if men who have authority over that place come and ask God that, now God, we pray that you come and intervene. We as Ugandans, we pray you come and intervene in our nation and in the politics of our nation. Then we give God we give him the legal right to come and intervene, because we have asked him to. Okay? That's why we pray. That's generally why we pray. That's why we ask God to come and take control of our lives, because we are giving him the right to. If you don't give him the right to, he doesn't come. He doesn't force himself on your will. So now he's not going to force himself on Ugandan politics, but we are going to ask him and pray to him and say, Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your will is done in this country, in the politics of this country. And we pray that our leaders that are, and those that will come after the elections in 2016, will be the leaders that will make the decisions that will establish this nation in the course that you want it to take, and that will make us beneficiaries of those resources that you have put within this nation. Now, we are going to pray along those lines for 30 minutes as soon as this show ends. If you listen to the show at midnight 1, then you pray from 1 to 1:30 before you go to sleep, because this is it's extremely important that we do this as a people. Now, but that's not all. We are not just praying. We also, as children of God, God wants to put his children. Now, this is extremely important. Listen to this. God wants to put his children in charge of decisions, in positions where they are the ones that take decisions. God wants to put his children in key positions in government, in politics, in bureaucracy and all those things. He wants his children to be in those places, and he is going to do that. But the Lord has been impressing on me that the trouble with so many of his children is they are not thinking the way they are thinking, the way the world thinks. So they think, when you then tell them that, you know, God is going to put his children in positions of authority, they say, oh, now it's our turn to eat. And you're thinking like a worldly person. Now, of course, I mean, you eat. The point is that, with the integrity, that is. But God puts you there not just for the purpose of yourself, and God puts you there so that the right decisions are made. The Bible says, when the righteous rule reigns, the city rejoices. Now, if I say I want to go and be, let's say, a minister of something, if I say I want to, let's say, go and be the chief justice, and I'm a child of God, and I pray, God, I want to be the chief justice, the thing God is thinking is saying that, are you going there just because you want to be there, or are you going to cause a difference? If anybody prays with a sincere heart and says, God, this place is messed up, but if you put me there, I will cause a difference, a positive change, so that the city rejoices because I, your child, is in that place. I am not going there just to be a replacement of the heathen who was there and do the same things that he did. I was speaking to a friend of mine who works in a ministry, and she was telling me of this person who was promoted and promoted because he's a child of God, he's born again, and he was promoted and got to a high place where clearly everybody knew he was not supposed to be there in terms of qualification and everything, but God raised him and put him there because God does those things. You don't have to have the qualifications. If God decides you're going to be there, you will be there, and everybody will wonder, how did you get there? And they have nothing to do because God put you there. Now this gentleman comes and is in those high places, and then he starts doing the exact things that the person before him was doing who was not born again. He starts same corruption, same stealing, same, greed and what. And then people are saying, man, we thought this born again person coming is going to help us, but now this guy is even worse than the previous person. Now that is very unfortunate if you're a believer and people, you carry the name of God, you're a child of God, and you stand in a position of authority, and people say that you are the same as the person who was there before who was not a believer, or that you are worse than that person. People should be able to rejoice, and when the righteous reigns, the city rejoices, the Bible says. So the people should be able to rejoice and say, okay, this place was disorganized, nothing was working, but when they put this gentleman here who is a born again person, now everything moves properly. Now people are come to work early. Now there is you don't have to pay bribes to get service done. Now everything works properly. Now if you can place your papers there and go home, and they will call you when they have been signed. You don't have to come and do kickbacks and all these things. And people say, since this born again person took charge, everything is different. That's what God wants. He does not want you to think that now God is going to put us there and then you go there just to be the same as everybody else. That would be very unfortunate. Now, I want you, children of God, even as we are praying for this country, because we don't just pray, God is going to use people to make these good decisions. Okay, so if you're a child of God and you're standing for political office and do that, go and tell God, I want to come and cause a difference. If I'm going to parliament, I want to be different. I want to be that MP who was not taking bribes, who was not selling his country for cheap trips to go, take you for trips, give you 20,000 euros, and then you come and you're willing to mortgage your country off because of that. And it's okay if somebody who is not a child of God does that. But as a child of God, you should say, God, I want to be different. Put me in that position. Stand up. Which area do you feel you're called into? Say, God, put me there, and I promise you I will make a difference in the way things are. And when the righteous is there, the city will rejoice. Tell God that. Give him a promise and make sure you fulfill it when you get there. Because God is waiting for you to ask to pray a prayer like that. And let me tell you, he will put you there, and it will be in a surprising way. You will not even know how it happened. You don't even have to have the qualifications to be there. I mean, you just ask God that, God, this place is in disarray. This ministry, this government department, this what, this city, this place. If you put me there, I'm going to make a difference. And you make your vow with God and see if you are not going to be put in that place. And I'm telling you this by the way, by the word of God. And within a short time, by the time the elections are over next year and what, you're going to see how children of God are being placed in key positions. Now, we are not going to let our God down by doing the same things that the corrupt people before were doing. We are going to be the people that cause a difference. When I say this country is not going to be known as a country that is, disorganized, nothing seems to work, everything is in disarray. When I say that, I know that God is counting on you and I to be in those positions and to cause that change that he wants, and to cause our country to be a one that is now known to be smoothly run, organized. Things are on course, all the projects that are going on. There's a lot of investment that is currently going on in this country, in infrastructure, in things, even in this city, and things like that. And I remember one time, now I'm going to have to tell you this, I remember one time when, soon after the previous elections in 2011, about a year after, when, I was seated there praying, and then God impressed it on me that he wants to place people, his children, in these places, okay? And he says he has already started. And actually, God told me specifically to pray for Jennifer Musisi, who was just been made executive director of Kampala City. And I was praying, I was fasting actually, and I was praying for myself. I had my own problems, but God told me to pray for her, okay? So I prayed for her. I prayed for her, and I knew there was a shaking that was going to come and things like that. And he said he put her there and for a purpose, okay? And I was supposed to pray for her that she fulfills that purpose and that things start running a bit smoother, and as well, and because I actually know that she's one of those people who prayed and said, God put me in that position and I will make a change, okay? Now, the other people whom I know, but that one, I'm sure the Lord told me specifically, pray for her. He told me why to pray for her. I'm not going to tell you why. He told me what to pray about specifically, and I did. And I spent quite some time of praying for her that time. So, it's extremely important for God that somebody stands and says, so even her, one day, she said that, if you put me there, I'm going to make a difference. Okay? Now, whether or not you think she has made a difference is up to your opinion. But she's a child of God, and for me, I was led by God to pray for her. Okay? And I wish her all the best in that. Now, you also make your own promises and say, God, also me, if you put me in charge of this, okay, I promise you, I am going to make a difference. I am going to be the righteous person who reigns and the city rejoices. I am going to be different. I'm not going to be corrupt. I'm not going to be what? I'm going to be a person who brings integrity in this thing. And if, when I leave, people will say, this thing now works. Okay, previously it was known for everything wrong, now it is known for something right. It's and if you have the mentality of it's our turn to eat, you know, put us there, you know, to get a kulia, and what you're thinking, like, you know, like an ordinary man, which is very unfortunate, because you're not supposed to be thinking like that. God's purpose is eternal. Even when you, everything that God does is not, he doesn't do anything for the short term. He does everything for eternity, because he's an eternal God. There is nothing that he does that is short term. Everything is long term. So even when he puts you there, you're supposed to influence certain people. And people, when people see the way things are running, and they say, one, truly, when a Morocco takes over, things are better, surely. And then you're preaching the gospel by just being different, and you have a reward on this earth and in the life hereafter. And I want you to know that, children of God, don't think like the rest of the world. Don't think about yourself only. Don't be selfish in your thinking. If you're in a position of authority, even currently, right now, and you can make a difference, determine and say, God, from this day onwards, I am going to make a difference. Maybe I had been swept into the culture that I found here. I found a culture of corruption and all these things and kickbacks and all, and I'd been swept in by it, and I'd forgotten my identity as a child of God. Then you say, now I am going to be different. I am going to change that fact, and I'm going to work in a totally different way, and I'm going to show people that when a child of God reigns, the city rejoices. Now, if you make that determination, God is with you, because that is his purpose for this country, and we are at a very interesting time for this country. Don't forget, as soon as on the dot, as soon as I get off here at 10, we are praying for this nation. We are praying. We are taking take 30 minutes of your time, wherever you are. If you are in a car, if you must park, if you can, you can pray. If you are driving, wherever you are, just take 30 minutes, because it's very important. This country can go one way or the other. Two extreme directions, that any of which is possible, this country can go. But pray that we go the direction that God wants us to go. Do not forget that. 30 minutes after this, I am going to be doing the same wherever it is I am. I will stop whatever it is I'm doing and pray for Uganda, for the elections, for the politics of this country, and everything that is coming up, even all the electioneering that is coming up between now and 2016, that there is peace, that there is nothing that threatens the exploitation to our benefit of the resources that are spoken and that I've spoken about in this place now. So this is what we are going to do. But I have to give you also an update on the Watchman conference. Now, by the way, I just thank you so much, all of you who have responded to us in all sorts of ways. I just thank you so much. You've been so wonderful, because I mean people have are giving and are being blessed
And if you want, you, and I still encourage you, especially Christian businessmen, who also, by the way, God wants to put them in charge of a lot of these things, and not just don't just pray. When you pray, also pray for yourself. Now, listen to this before I get into this conference talk. When you pray for the country, okay, also pray for yourself, that God shows you where to position yourself strategically to be a beneficiary of the wealth that is coming. Okay, because there's going to be a lot of wealth here, and that is guaranteed. Now, pray that God shows you. Say, God, Father, I pray that you show me where I'm going to strategically position myself so that I can be a beneficiary of this wealth, because God wants you to be a beneficiary of it. There's no doubt about that. Now, pray that he shows you, he opens your eyes to opportunities and what, and creates connections in your life. He connects you to the right people who are going to take you to places where you can be of benefit. It doesn't matter even if you're a student, even if you've just finished university and you're walking on the streets, even if you're a businessman, your business can, it doesn't matter what business you're doing. Pray to God that he shows you where to strategically locate yourself so that you can be there when the resources start flowing very soon. Now, so many things are happening this year, so many things are going to happen next year in 2016. And it's just going to be amazing, because the real investment starts next year after the election, and there's a reason why the investors wanted it to start after the election. So pray for those things, gentlemen. Now, sow into the Watchman Conference. This is good ground. This is very good ground. And this, we are doing wonderful things, by the way. We are doing wonderful things. And by the way, now, those who want to be part of our WhatsApp group where we are sending, you know, stuff out to people, you can give us your number. Don't send emails, because it's a bit difficult picking emails and putting them on the phone. Now, what you do, this number that I give you for the seed, you just send there a message and say, this is my name and this is my number, put me on your group, so that we get the number straight on the phone which we are using. We're using that same phone. When you receive messages, they will come as Watchman, but we're using the same phone which I've been giving you for sowing your seed. And the number is 0780 292 555. The number is 0780 292 555. Please use that number to sow seeds for the Watchman Conference. I thank you so much, those who have been sowing, and I'm very sure you're going to see an increase. I have absolutely no doubt you're going to see an increase. And so, give out of yourself, okay? Don't give out of yourself. Give out of yourself, because something big is happening here, I believe, and I want you to be a partaker of it. And just send us your number on that same number. Send us either an SMS or WhatsApp on that same number, so that we can record your number and have it as part of our group. The number is 0780 292 555, okay? And it's registered under the names of Joseph Kableta. So if you're sending money and it doesn't give you those names, then you have the number wrong. Try to get it right. So I encourage you to continue giving. You can send me email if you want to ask a question or something like that. You can send me email. If you have questions to ask, you can call that number, although it will not be answered by the Watchman. There's somebody who is doing the answering, and he can direct you on certain particular things concerning it. And please continue to sow. Your seeds are helping us in preparation for the Watchman Conference. It's going to be a wonderful event. It's going to turn so many all these things that we've been talking, we want to introduce them to the political world and to the people in high places to know that we are living in the days of the end, okay, and to know even some of the things that I've told you today. So this is what God is planning to do, and he wants you to be a part of it. So use that number that I gave you to sow a seed, and God will definitely bless you. The number is 0780 292 555. Now, thank you so much for listening to the Watchman. Our prayers for the nation start right now as soon as I get off here. God bless you.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Be him alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on.